Hey, everybody, quick announcement. We're doing a second CMP study. Starting May 6th, it's a total win-win. You get to come into League if you qualify for the study, go through the first 8 weeks of League, which we call the 8-week parenting pivot. It's this incredible deep dive of implementing Connect Method parenting. And we get to follow your progress to show the impact Connect Method parenting is having on parents who implement it in their home. So it's a total win-win. All you've got to do is apply for the study before May 6th, because that's when it closes, because that's when we're starting it. There's a link in the show notes. So you just click that link, answer some questions. If you pre-qualify, we'll reach out to you, confirm that it's a good fit, and then we'll be off to the races. So if you've been waiting for an opportunity to jump into League, but you've been hesitant for whatever reason, see this as your sign. It's your time to jump in. I would be so grateful, because my mission is to get CMP out to more people. And part of that process is collecting statistical data showing how it works for people in their home in real situations. So it would be such a blessing for me if you feel inspired to participate in the study. And it would be such a win for you, because you will be able to have access to the tools to shift from corrective to connective parenting. Now, this is only available until May 6th, so jump on it while you can. And if you're not interested in participating in the study, but you would like to start implementing Connect Method parenting, you want that assistance to guarantee you success, League is open for general traditional sign up as well. So you can sign up that way as well. You don't have to participate in the study, but both will close May 6th. So whether you are entering the traditional way or through the study, May 6th is the deadline, and we're not going to reopen until July or August for another round of League. I don't know if we're going to do another CMP study. We'll just have to wait and see. So now is the perfect time to join. And I just wanted to let everybody who's listening to the podcast know about this opportunity, so that you don't go 2 more months and not have the help that you need. And real quick, before we get to the episode, I thought it'd be really fun to share some thoughts from people who just completed this study.
I just can never express how great this has been and how thankful I am. It's been everything. It's been so good.
Like, are we only 2 weeks in? It's like night and day already. There's just been this total shift.
I feel like our hearts are like so connected. Thank you. I'm so grateful.
I really, really see the change.
So fun. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So if you're ready to create a change in your parenting, you're ready to go from corrective to connective parenting, I would love for you to come participate in the study, or you can come in traditionally, but you got to get your application in before May 6th, because that's when we're closing the doors. And the results, by the way, were so incredible from the first study. I am going to do a whole podcast episode about it to let you know what happens when we implement Connect Method parenting, now that we have the data to support that. But we want a bigger base to pull from, so that we have hundreds and hundreds of moms that have gone through this study, maybe even thousands. So if you are feeling inclined, come join us in the study. And if you have any questions, reach out to us at hello@connectmethodparenting.com, and we'll get back to you. All right, on with the show. We can use control and manipulation techniques to get someone to do what we want them to do. However, once the consequence or reward are withdrawn, the behavior returns to its previous state. Welcome to the Connect Method Parenting Podcast, where correction is out, connection is in, and your kids want to listen to you. I'm Andy Martineau, creator of Connect Method Parenting, here to help you stay calm, confident, and connected no matter what. Hey, everybody. Andy here. Today we're talking about corrective parenting. This is the opposite of what I teach. I want to be very clear on that. But I think it's really important to define it, to establish where it came from, so that we can understand where we are, where society is for the most part. Let's talk about the science, the data, the history. I know, you're so excited. I'm going to trace it back to 2 psychologists. I know this isn't a complete history, but we do not have time for a complete history. So we're getting the abbreviated history today, so that we can understand why we want to depart from this framework of parenting. John B. Watson and B.F. Skinner started publishing things. Both of them had these very strong arguments, data, they did experiments supporting this framework of behavioralism, behavior modification, learning theory. But you guys, this is my favorite. I think it actually describes it the best. External control theory. Which one of us parents would be like, sign me up for that one? External control theory sounds like a winner. Oh my goodness. But Nonetheless, that is what behavior modification is. It is believing that things outside of us, positive and negative consequences, as they like to be called, or stimuli, if you want to go a little more techie, are what shape behavior and really shape a person. Let's begin our discussion by talking about what John B. Watson and B.F. Skinner found, shall we? So here's what happened. They had some labs. They set them up. They had pigeons and rats in there. And they discovered, big surprise, that they could get these pigeons and rats to do whatever they wished if they just gave them a consequence of a positive nature or a negative nature. Positive ones increased behavior, negative ones decreased it. Pretty straightforward. So, published the data. They boldly said, this is how we train humans. In fact, they said there's no difference between these pigeons and rats and humans. I don't even have words for that because that just doesn't even make sense, especially with all the neuroscience. Now, I'm going to give them a little bit of a pass. The findings that we have in neuropsychology, they weren't out then. So, I mean, that was the conclusion they drew based on their experiments. I honor them as people who are trying to do their best. I think they were. However, I believe their conclusions were erroneous and wrong about humans, not about rats and pigeons. Fine with rats and pigeons. I mean, I have the cutest Sheba Doodle. You'll probably hear her bark from time to time. Her name's Leia. Yes, like Princess Leia. I love sci-fi stuff that has outer space in it. So her name is perfect. But she is the epitome of perfection when I have her special treats out. She can be well trained using external stimuli. It works fabulous for her. Her brain is very different than ours. She does not have that developed prefrontal cortex that allows her to think rationally. So it makes sense that these experiments that B.F. Skinner and John B. Watson had and the conclusions they drew were appropriate for pigeons and rats. Where they went wrong is when they said this also applies to humans. Some people call this process conditioning. But it's basically saying that behavior is simply boiled down to a response with external things. So in parenting, we call this punishments and rewards, which are really just another name for consequences, positive and negative consequences. I sometimes have moms say, a consequence isn't a punishment, but how frequently are you giving a consequence in a punitive way to teach a lesson, to take away a privilege because they don't deserve it anymore? That's punitive, guys. So for the most part, punishments and consequences are interchangeable in how we use it. Now, do they have to be? No. But typically, we do give them to our kids in a way that is not connective, it's corrective, it's punitive. John B. Watson and B.F. Skinner believed that humans were this blank slate and that just by conditioning, by giving external consequences and rewards, they could create any kind of behavior they wanted. Now, I'm going to take a little pause here and say, to a degree, it is true. We can use control and manipulation techniques to get someone to do what we want them to do. However, once the consequence or reward are withdrawn, the behavior returns to its previous state, meaning the modification of the behavior only lasts as long as the external stimuli are there. As parents, is that what we really want? To be walking around and having to continually dish out consequences and rewards, giving these external stimuli, positive and negative, to get the kids to behave certain ways. What is going to happen when they move out? It's dangerous. And it's not hitting the goal. So even though temporarily, yes, we can get our kids to do certain things or not do certain things, giving them certain rewards or consequences, this is not going to help them fulfill their potential. They're not going to see the beauty in the lesson we're trying to teach them and light up their intrinsic motivation so that they stay on that path. We'll not do any of those things. So just because someone says the world is flat, or that you should wear, do you guys remember units from the 80s, those leggings that were super weird? Just because they say we should wear those, or that no-fat diets are the way to go, or that 80s hair with the massive bangs and the aquamarina, not aquaphor, I don't remember, not aquaphor, that's the lotion. But you know what I mean, that crazy hard hairspray is a good idea, doesn't mean we should accept it. In fact, most of the 80s stuff, I think, is woo, a little crazy. But the 80s music, you guys, that was a keeper. I love those big love ballads and Chicago. Yes, to all of that. But the rest of it, no. So just because the majority of people believe something doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean it's accurate. And we're at this crossroads today is, oh, okay, the majority of the people are still thinking that you make sustainable, long-lasting change by using external consequences and rewards. However, the science proves it for animals, but for humans, if you look at neuroscience, if you look at developmental psychology, the data is in. This is not where it's at anymore. Behavior mod is so yesterday. A lot of parents have come to this conclusion that discipline is the essence of parenting. No, you guys, it's not true. Discipline is not the essence of parenting. If you want to be on the discipline train for the entire time you're parenting, you can do that, but it's going to be exhausting and it's not going to yield the fruit you want. Parenting is not about telling your kids what they can and can't do all day long. It's about creating an environment that allows them to fulfill their potential. This is what parenting is. It's about relationships. It's about connection. It's about accepting them for who they are. It's about letting them process their emotions. It's not about sticker charts. It's not about timeouts. It's not about taking away their favorite toy or their friend privileges to try to get them to do their chores or be nice to each other. That's not going to create this sustainable change. That's not going to ignite their intrinsic motivation. And when we are constantly using external stimuli to try to change, fix, control, manipulate their behavior, it comes at a huge cost. It disconnects the relationship. It actually fractures it. And to me, this is the saddest part. It often creates a story in our child's brain where they internalize that something's wrong with them and that maybe mom can't handle me, or maybe I am mean, or maybe I don't have any self-control. And they start to believe some narratives about themselves that are very damaging. It also messes with their perception of safety. One of the most important things that our children need is to feel safe and taken care of by their adult. And when they are feeling us correct them and be frustrated by them, they are not feeling safe with us. So their nervous system is going into fight or flight mode. And that doesn't allow them to connect with us. That doesn't increase our relationship and our bond and our feelings of love and tenderness we want to have with them, which ultimately, when we have those feelings of love and tenderness with them, they create more impact and influence, which creates more opportunity for them to fulfill their potential. So we're working against that when we are correcting in a negative way that triggers their nervous system. And none of us do well when we're in a state where someone's constantly harping on us or nagging us or correcting us or letting us know how much we've messed up or how disappointed they are with us. Watson had the audacity, you guys, to say that there is no fundamental, measurable distinction between human and animal behavior. You guys, I know he didn't have all the science back then, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there is a lot of difference that is measurable and distinguishable between a human and a pigeon or a rat or a non-human animal. And this prefrontal cortex that we have is one of the differences. It's a pretty amazing, unique thing. And that allows us to have logic and reason to think about our thinking, to intentionally create our life. So it's very interesting to really look at where the beginnings of the parenting framework that we have adopted, hook, line, and sinker, and why is it just time to let that framework go and to move into something that's more aligned with the current science. So what I want us to think about is that the corrective mindset puts us in a place where we are functioning as the engineer, as the sculptor, We are in charge of creating the masterpiece. It is all up to us. And we have this marble that we're trying to turn into the perfect statue, or we have a piece of machinery, if we're thinking about the engineering example, that we're taking the components and creating something from it. That's the corrective mindset approach. The connective mindset approach of parenting is about being the shepherd, realizing I have all these sheep. I want to guide them. I want to lead them. I want to help them be successful and thrive. Or another way to think about it is the gardener, who has seeds that are obviously not in his control if it becomes a tulip or an oak tree. His job is not to create the plant, it's to nurture the plant to help it thrive and grow. It's a big difference. If you're new to Connect Method Parenting, I have a great way for you to get started. I created a free course that covers some of the biggest challenges parents are facing and how Connect Method Parenting solves them. In an hour, we're going to talk about why parenting is so hard, how to get your kids to want to listen to you, how to stop yelling and losing your cool, and become that calm, confident, connected parent for good. It's the fastest way to get started using connection as your go-to tool for influencing and impacting your kids. Go to cmp.works/course to get instant access today. Science supports the connective framework, that gardener approach. We get the seeds and we have to figure out how to create an environment where they can thrive. Do they need a lot of sun? Do they need a little bit of sun? Do they need a lot of fertilizer or a little fertilizer? And this is what we're doing as parents, as we're discovering what each of one of our children need. And this is where the perspective of a gardener comes in. We are looking at how to create the environment for our little seeds, for our little children. And we're looking at what do they need? How many hours of sleep do they need? We'll start with that. That's a pretty simple one. Do they need 12 hours? I need about 8 hours of sleep. My husband needs about six. It's physiologically, it's just the way it is. I have a son who'd better on 10. If he gets less than 10, it's not good for him. He went to the doctor and they said, you just need 10 hours of sleep. So we all have our unique idiosyncrasies just with our physical bodies, with our emotional state. Some of my kids are more emotional and they need more space to process them. Some are more cerebral and they want to talk logic and reason. So we're creating environments for them to thrive. There's no right or wrong environment. There's just environments where they can thrive. And that comes from this perspective of it's not my job to decide if they're a tulip or an oak tree. It's my job to help them thrive. So this is really valuable information. When we can see it through this lens, we can see where the roots of corrective parenting came from. We can truly decide no more. That's not what I'm doing anymore. I'm not playing that game. And that is an important realization to come to, because if you don't realize the impact of the corrective mindset, the impact on the relationship when we're constantly managing their behavior, the impact on their internal dialogue about themselves, the internal motivation they have, then we don't realize we need to stop it. And we won't have the commitment to say, I'm willing to do this, even though it's going to feel a little bit scary, to start fueling my parenting by connection. To trust that if I can strengthen the relationship, I will have more impact and influence with my child. If I am able to show up compassionately and firmly when I need to set a limit, I will give their nervous system space to process the disruption or the disappointment that they're going through, and that serves them. To step into connective parenting and realize this requires me to be okay with all of the emotions my kids are having. I'm seeing their behavior differently. So it's a departure. Complete departure from corrective parenting. And we have to make this decision to depart from it. If we don't, we will keep dabbling in correcting, consequencing, thinking, like, just do it a little bit, then it's not going to matter. It will matter. It makes a difference. There are ways to set very firm connective limits that do not disrupt the relationship, but aren't letting them just go wild, that honors their nervous system, their emotional state, who they are. We don't have to be fueling our parenting with correction, with punishments, with rewards. They don't even work long term. So it's funny that we're so hooked on them, but it's like we're addicted to them. And so to think I can live a life without them, without things going crazy, is a little scary, stepping into the darkness. But it's a decision that we all need to make. So be thinking about, what are your reasons for wanting to hold on to those corrective techniques? If they are because you're afraid of what will happen, then I want you to dive into that. Why? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid the kids will just go off the rails? Are you afraid you're going to be passive? You're going to have no control? You want to understand it because your brain's going to want to hold on to them. And then my challenge to everyone is to make the decision today to stop parenting from correction. It is time to stop. We are beginning a parenting revolution. That's what's happening here. It's backed by science. It's only a matter of time. It's inevitable. When we know the roots of corrective parenting, it's a lot easier to step away from them because we can easily say, oh, first of all, my child is nothing like a pigeon or rat, so why would I use those? Same techniques to control behavior. Two, it's damaging the relationship. And we can see how that would damage a relationship if someone was constantly trying to control and manipulate us by taking things away. So we can see the reality of that. We can see how it damages their intrinsic motivation. In fact, they've done a study. I can't remember the age. My brain says toddlers, but they might have been older, where they took two groups and they asked to do a task. And one group they rewarded. And then they asked both groups to do a second task. The group that was rewarded was less likely to do the second task. So we think rewards are all the rage. They're going to help. They're going to make everything better. But here's the thing. It doesn't work. Our kids' intrinsic motivation is not ignited by a reward. It's ignited by something deeper, because as humans, we have deep meaning and purpose to make a difference, to do the right thing, to create influence and move out into the world and do big things. Our kids know that from the time they're little. And so when they feel controlled and manipulated, they're starting to say, I will not do the thing if you're trying to control me, because I am free. Stop trying to control me. I know that's not good for me. They rebel. They're not going to do it. Have you ever had a kid that's very clean? That's their nature. And then you start getting on them about cleaning their room, and all of a sudden, they're not cleaning their room because of how we're asking them to clean it. They need that freedom, that autonomy. Humans need that free agency. So those are reasons to step away from corrective parenting. Really compelling reasons. And what I will say is that when you step into connective parenting, it feels better. The kids want to listen to you. Your relationships get better. Everything gets better. The decision you have to make is to step away from relying on those corrective ways of parenting. They can become a crutch that we're just accustomed to, but we realize they're not really working. Because if they were working, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because our kids would just be obeying, because we are masters at giving consequences and rewards. We've been trained since we were tiny how to do that. So if those consequences and rewards actually worked, we wouldn't be having any parenting problems. They would all be solved and our kids would be doing all the things, but they're not, because they go against the human nature. They go against our highest thinking. They go against the very spirit of who we are as humans. So step away from the corrective consequences. Do it today. And if you have questions, if you are concerned about anything, just come over to the YouTube channel. If you're listening to this on the podcast, or if you're watching me right now, got you. Just make a comment below. That is after you subscribe. You should subscribe to both, actually, the YouTube channel and the podcast. I would appreciate that so much. We are here to make a difference in parents and children's life. The experience that our kids have as they're growing up, to be honored and respected, to be taught and to be given direction as well, but to be having that done for them in a way that is so kind. And I want to empower parents to respect the person they're being as they're parenting their kids. This is important. This is important work, you guys. I know that parenting is your number one job, the most important job you'll ever have. And we want to really step up to the plate and do it in a way that we can look back and give ourselves a high five. Yes, we did it. As they become adults, we're not losing that connection with them. They're calling us for advice. One of the best gifts is now, as my kids are getting older, my oldest is 23, my youngest is 15. I have kids asking for advice, wanting input, and then just sharing the things that are happening in their life. And that's what we want. And that's what I want for you. So loved talking about this with you. I hope you have a new perspective on what corrective parenting is, where it came from, and why it is time to officially kick that crazy thing out of the house and let the new parenting partner move in. All right. We will see you in the next episode. Bye, everybody. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, come check out League, my Connect Method parenting coaching program, where we take this material and we apply it using my proven formula. Head over to cmp.works/join.